This is Side Podcast, episode 22, part 1, USA qualifying. Before we actually get to the qualifying, we have had a couple of calls on the Skype number.
Have we?
Yes.
Is it me again?
No, it's actual, real live calls. The first one is from Brendan, who's a regular commenter on the blog. He has a question.
Dear Side Podcast, I have heard various references to the 2007 Ferraris having a long wheelbase. I've also heard some commentators state that the Ferraris are no longer than other cars on the grid. They were just shorter in previous years. Can you help me get an answer to this, please? This is Brendan from beautiful and sunny, coolish Atlanta. Thank you. Bye.
So the question is the Ferrari longer this year or was it just shorter last year?
We see. That's a very good question. It's not longer this year, no. The FIA define an overall width of a Formula One car as 1.8 metres. That figure, in turn, defines the length of the car, because there's some kind of complicated mathematical equation, which basically says if a car is this wide, it has to be this long to be...
You mean you don't know it?
There's no regulation that stipulates the length of a Formula One car, but basically they are 4.6 metres in length. What Ferrari have done this year is to move their front wheels forward by 100 millimetres. That gives them a longer wheelbase. So basically, the wheels are farther apart from the centre of the, you know, where the wheel nut goes on.
The front and the back wheels?
Yeah, they're basically farther apart. The nose of the car and the tail of the car are exactly the same place as they were last year, but the front wheels are farther forward, so the monocoque is longer and the front nose is shorter, and then I think they've moved the front wing forward a little bit. So you have a longer wheelbase car.
But it's not actually longer?
No. What that basically gives you better aerodynamic control over how the airflow moves from the front wing to the rear wings, and supposedly gives you more options in terms of tuning the car.
But it does cause problems in Monaco.
Well, it's really good on tracks with long sweeping curves like Barcelona, Bahrain.
And, oh, the USA.
Yeah, it's quite good in the USA, but it's bad on places like Monaco where there's lots of turns, and like Canada, which is long straights and sort of immediate stops. Does that help?
I think that explains it.
So, in conclusion, not longer, just farther apart.
And our second call is from Carla. It's not a question, just a general comment.
Oh.
Hello, listeners. I feel duty-bound to tell you it is your host's birthday this weekend. So I hope you will all join me in wishing her a happy birthday. Happy birthday, Christine, from all your fans.
It's your birthday today?
Yes, it's my birthday today.
I won't ask you how old you are.
No, because I'm a lady.
Yes. How old are you?
I'm not saying.
Right.
I am a lady.
Well, it's a good job it's not your birthday every week, because I like more questions.
Right, charming. Well, if you want to send us questions that we can investigate for you, here's our number.
012128 track.
That's 012128 87225. Into free practice one then. Kubica is not racing this weekend.
We thought that might be the case, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, he's surprisingly absolutely fine, but they've said he needs a bit longer just in case he has a second accident or anything.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be a good idea. So, Sebastian Vettel is replacing him. He's 19 years old, and he looks about 12.
Right.
But he's got a nice smile.
Oh.
He's very fast.
Yes.
And he's very German.
Right. Is it another... Are we watching the debut of another fast German driver then? Is that what you're suggesting?
That's what it looks like to me. He did very well in free practice one, whilst the Ferraris were looking a bit off colour.
Yes. Still red though.
Yes. But not blue or anything.
No. But just not quite performing the way you'd expect them to.
And Hamilton as well. He seemed to be maybe struggling to learn the track.
Apparently he didn't have much time in the McLaren simulator. Maybe he only had a bit of time on the PlayStation. Couldn't get up to speed as he normally would do. So it took him a little while to learn the track. And
very good at that circuit either on the PlayStation.
Oh, well, there you go then. That'll be it.
Exactly. And at the end of free practice, Sutil span off and finished in the gravel. So it's a good way to finish.
He was the only one, though, after the debacle that was Canada and all the offs that were going on there. Yes. Just one driver this time.
So far. the finishing positions of free practice one were Alonso, then Heidfeld, Hamilton, Vettel and Raikkonen. But then in free practice two, Hamilton had a bit of car trouble and lost a lot of track time.
Massa didn't come out a lot either, did he? It took him almost half the session before he arrived on track.
Maybe they're all really comfortable and they didn't want to come out being lazy.
It could be that, yep.
Weber stopped on the track, gearbox related.
Right.
Big surprise.
Which car do you have your picture on for Silverstone?
Yeah, well done. they were figuring out their tyre strategies, though, weren't they?
Yeah, as per usual, soft tyres, not very good over a long stint, but really, really good on a fast lap. And this week we're using the medium and the soft compounds, which are known as the hard and soft compounds.
It's ridiculous.
It is a bit ridiculous.
So not the super softs, just the normal softs, and then the medium ones are the hard ones.
Absolutely.
The top five fastest in free practice two were Alonso, Hamilton, Massa, Raikkonen, and then Heidfeld. But Massa, Kovalainen, and Sutil were fined for speeding in the pit lane.
The pit lane speed limit is lower, isn't it, on Fridays?
60 kilometres an hour. Free practice. Instead of, slower. What is it, 80?
Yeah, basically, 20 kilometres an hour slower.
And for every kilometre per hour you do over the speed limit, you get fined €200.
So Kovalainen was hit for how much?
1,200.
Ouch.
But yeah, and the FIA got €1,800 in total, so good day's work for them.
After free practice, the FIA got up to some shenanigans, didn't they?
They conducted a night test, if that's what you mean.
Well, they did it a bit on the quiet. They didn't really mention to anyone they were doing
No one really knew what was going on. But that's because it looked a bit rubbish. It was a bit half-hearted.
Well, they had the safety car, so it wasn't a Formula One car.
With headlights.
And it had its headlights turned on. And they erected some kind of some floodlighting from the guys, I think, who floodlight the NASCAR races. So they turned up with their big spotlights, lit the track. Then they chucked a load of water on it and declared it a success.
Great. Why did they put water on it?
Something to do with whether or not the drivers could see with the reflection of the lights and the rain, and whether or not the cars could be seen through the rain, through the mist and the rain and that. And apparently it all went well.
I thought that they couldn't see the marshals very well or the flags they were waving.
Well, certainly from the photographs that we've seen, you can barely pick out a marshal, but...
apparently it was a success.
Yes, so. Roaring success. On the quiet, and no official statement from the FIA, so, you know, make it that what you will.
Before free practice three, Hamilton had to change his engine, didn't he? He was due a new engine.
Yeah.
But the one they put in didn't work.
Yep.
So they changed it.
Yes, and because... So
does he get a penalty?
No, because the car never took to the track on the initial engine. They picked up the problem through whatever data analysis they do, realised there was a problem with it, swapped the engine out overnight, and he starts with a fresh engine on Saturday morning, free practice. No penalty applied.
No.
Don't be mean.
He did mess up his last flying lap, though, so it kind of makes up for it. The top five fastest were Alonso, Vettel, Hamilton, Kovalainen, and Heidfeld. So Alonso was on top for all three sessions.
Yes. People expected him to do quite badly, actually, on his previous form at this race. He's always had issues with the Renault and this track. And maybe it hasn't been Alonso that's been the problem. Maybe it was his car, and now he's in the McLaren. He seems all right. So he seems on fine form at the moment.
Going into qualifying one, the track temperature was quite hot, wasn't it? It was quite warm out.
It was warmer than it had been in the free practice sessions. And so people were kind of going into it with slight trepidation is exactly what was going to happen to the tyres on the sticky tarmac.
Coulthard came out first. He always comes out first.
Yeah, he's not a fan of qualifying. It has to be said. And he likes to do as more laps as he could possibly manage to get in. So normally he's out early.
Vettel was the last man out of the pits, even after Alonso, which is saying something.
Very brave.
But he went fourth.
Very good.
In the first session. It was the top four, you know, the McLarens, the Ferraris.
The usuals.
Then, yeah, and then the two BMWs got in the way.
Wow.
Got in Ferrari's way, knocked them out.
So Vettel ended up fourth.
Yeah.
On his debut in a Grand Prix when he didn't even know he was going to be driving here until Thursday evening.
We're quite impressed.
Wow.
Wurz, Sato, Liuzzi, Speed, Sutil and Albers all got knocked out.
That's two of the heroes from the last race, Wurz and Sato. Mm. Both did really well and both really confident coming into this race, both gone in Q1.
Knocked out. In qualifying two, we learned from ITV that Vettel says kerfuffle on his team radio.
Right.
Like in Little Britain.
Yes.
He said there was a bit of traffic. It was quite a kerfuffle.
Right. And the German guys from BMW didn't have a clue what he was talking about.
Didn't understand.
I think you're a fan of this guy, aren't you?
No, not really.
No. He sounds like you are.
He's very, very young, but I just think he's funny. Mm. And he was very good.
He's about your age. How old are you?
I'm not telling you how old I am. Oh. But then ITV started telling us that, you know, did you know there are three sectors on a lap?
Really?
And I thought they were going to go so far as to say, and they're all timed.
But, did you know there was a start finish and some corners?
Checkered flag.
Wow.
So we only got as far as qualifying two before we gave up. and turned to 5 Live instead. Well, coincidentally, I received a digital radio for my birthday.
Wow.
I thought it was a present for me.
Who'd have thought?
You just wanted it so we could watch the telly and listen to the radio, didn't you?
It's funny how these things work out, isn't it? Anyway, so Radio 5 Live, much better. Much more enjoyable.
Yes. It was the first time this season that Button out-qualified Barrichello.
Wow.
But they both still got knocked out, so.
Eh.
And Rosberg also got knocked out. It's his worst qualifying so far this season.
Yikes.
So Button, Barrichello, Rosberg, and Davidson, Coulthard, and Schumacher, all out. I think our drivers are starting to become a little bit predictable because Hamilton was out first in qualifying 3.
Right.
As he always is. And Alonso and Vettel chose to wait.
Right.
There was a bit of chaos in the pit lane. Did Ferrari let their car out in some traffic?
In front of another BMW. I think so. And I guess it was Ferrari's fault. They did choke up the replays. Hard to call it, but yeah, it just happened to be that they were so close to the end of the pit lane. The cars, there was just enough gap. The pit lane kind of widens just before the exit. There was just enough space to get two cars side by side. And so there was no major incident. But I think maybe the Ferrari guy jumped too soon with letting his guy out.
I think some of the lollipop men need a bit of training. It wasn't really very exciting qualifying, was it?
It wasn't the best qualifying of all time. The problem was all the guys went out and did a flying lap, like a banker lap, about midway through the session. And then maybe the track kind of went off or the temperatures affected the tyres or something, but no one on their final run, their absolute sort of banzai lap, managed to beat their earlier time. So sort of nobody really improved. Except, of course, for Wonderboy Hamilton, who was the only man to actually manage to come some kind of improvement on the last lap.
Which leaves us with an all-McLaren front row, followed by 2 Ferraris, Massa then Raikkonen, then Heidfeld, Kovalainen, Vettel, Trulli, Webber, Fisichella.
You got 2 Renners in the top 10. Fisichella not looking too good compared to Kovalainen, though.
No, for a change, Kovalainen is getting the better of Fisichella. Yay!
You might be a bit... You're not a fan of Fisichella, are you?
No.
I read that you might not like him too much this week.
No.
So you're glad he's back, way back in 10th.
Couldn't care less.
Couldn't care. Well, maybe I'm thinking Kovalainen's maybe boosted from his good point haul last week. He seems to have taken some confidence on board and hopefully we might have to see the better Kovalainen for the next couple of races.
It's interesting to note that Trulli is starting in 8th, but he has finished in the top 5 of every US Grand Prix that he has ever finished.
That's a pretty good record. Yes. So he's one to watch then.
So he's obviously very good around this track.
What do you reckon McLaren are doing with their strategies and their drivers?
Nothing.
Nothing at all. You have no opinion on that. Only that in Monaco, Alonso seemed to get the better strategy. And then in Canada, it was almost a given that Lewis, he had the better strategy. And now from the comments from Lewis's dad post-qualifying, it almost sounds like they expected Alonso to have the advantage at this race.
All he said was that it was a surprise that he got pole.
Yeah.
That's it. You're reading all of that into that one comment.
He said it was a surprise he got pole.
He said we weren't expecting it.
Oh, we were expecting it in Canada, he said, and we weren't expecting
it
here.
He didn't say that. You read that into what he said.
Okay.
So stop it.
Okay, well, I just think that maybe McLaren are just kind of like seesawing their strategy. So one race, one driver gets the better strategy. The second race, it swaps the other driver and then vice versa all the way through the season. So in theory, Alonso should have been on pole today with a better strategy.
Well, I'll tell you what, in the post-qualifying press conference, Lewis said, I thought Alonso would do better, but he didn't. Which I think is really horrible.
This guy is not learning about press conferences, is he? He's learning tracks really fast, obviously. He's not learning media business whatsoever. Fancy saying about his teammate. Yet again, I think it's a case of Lewis not understanding and not realising that Alonso has probably saved more fuel than he has. He's going to go into the race tomorrow expecting the guy to be on a certain amount of fuel and find that he's actually going to go a couple of laps longer.
Yeah, I mean, I think Alonso has had a plan for every race and it just... Obviously, he screwed up all the corners, so that's rubbish. But I don't think... I mean, Lewis just thinks he's slower, whereas I think Alonso actually has a plan. Well, I thought that the whole point was that he'd been raised by Ron Dennis since, like, the age of 1.
Yes.
And so he was going to be all corporate-trained, media-speak, going to absolutely do everything for the team. And yet all he's done is say things that cause controversy.
And he seems oblivious to it. He really does. He does it with a smile on his face and it's like it's complete news to him that he's upsetting everybody.
Just one more thing. I'm a bit concerned that Alonso is behind because it seems that whenever he's not on pole, he pushes too hard and like ruins the corners.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's got a slight advantage at this track in that it's a very, very long straight to the first corner, isn't it? So if he starts, if he has a better start than Hamilton, then he should have more time to make that an advantage, where he didn't in Canada, he just ran out of track almost instantly, didn't he?
So, like, by the time they get to the corner, it should be decided one way or the other.
If he gets a better start, he should be a car length in front of him, and therefore it would be his corner. If Hamilton gets a reasonable start or a better start, then it should be all over before the first corner. So that's going to be a good race.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to watching that.
Yeah, on the bright side, you know, we're expecting all the cars to start this time, so, you know,
you're too. So make sure you join us tomorrow for the post-race debrief.
Absolutely. And we're going to go watch Le Mans now. All night. Join us for a bleary-eyed review tomorrow.